Wait till you hear the opening scripture. Interesting how this works, isn't it? Somebody else first? Anybody have a? Anyone else have a testimony? I don't want to miss anyone. Okay, very good. Turn with me, please, to 1 John, not the Gospel of John, but the little epistles of John. 1 John, way back towards the back of your Bibles. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And this has a lot to do with prayer, but it has a lot to do with some issues that might be hindering prayer. 'And this is the confidence that we have in Him. I could stop right there and say, when you pray, how much confidence do you have in Him? And I'm asking that question on purpose because there have been times when I've prayed for somebody and 5 minutes later they're downstairs asking for somebody to pray the same thing again. And I've seen it happen 2 or 3 times. And that shows me that person doesn't have confidence either in me, which is a good thing. Don't have confidence in me. Okay? Have confidence in Him. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. And here it is that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Well, if we don't spend time in the Word and we don't learn Scriptures and we don't know what His will is, that's room to find out that there are some prayers that we pray that God will not respond to, because if they're selfish prayers, if they're unbiblical prayers, if they're prayers outside of what God has promised us in His Word, then that reduces the chances of that prayer being responded to by the Lord. So it's really always important when we pray to whatever we're asking the Father, make sure it's in His Word. Make sure it lines up with His Word. And find a scripture or two to stand on. That's really important. And it said, if we ask anything according to His will, that word if is really important too, because it means, if means that there's a decision that we have to make. If we ask. It's very, very dangerous to just assume that something's going to happen, because something's going to happen and it may not be from God. There's always going to be something happen in response to a situation. But not everything comes from our Heavenly Father. A lot of havoc and chaos can come, and that doesn't come from God. But it says, He hears us. Without that confidence in Him, when you pray according to His will, your prayer's going to go about to your eyebrows and stop. You must have confidence in Him. If we can trust God to save our butts from a burning, fiery eternity, why can't we trust Him with our health? Why can't we trust Him with our finances? Why can't we trust Him with our business? Why can't we trust Him with our wives? Oh, that didn't sound too good. I'm supposed to only have one, right? or our husbands. To a general audience, of course. I'm digging a hole pretty deep quick here. But if we can't trust Him in everyday things of life, why bother to even ask? Work situations to be changed. When Tom talked about speaking the word, if you've kept trying the same thing for 10 years and nothing's happened, then maybe there might be something to trying something different to get a different result. Otherwise, we keep getting the same result. So, the fact that God hears us, and it's interesting because when you study this word hearing out, it doesn't mean that, like right now in the room, we got to talk a little louder because we hear the air conditioners running. But if you if you were just hearing in a general sense, it's just another noise in the room. It's a distraction. But if you really listen, you can identify. And when God hears, it's not just another voice touching the throne room. He listens with an intensive anticipation of the words that are going to come forth, and he has a desire to respond to it. And that's important, to listen to what people say when we're in conversations, is because we don't just want to be quick and have a snap answer before the last word is out of their mouths. It's important to listen. And when God hears you, he's listening to your heart. And that's important, that you have that confidence in him, that your prayers activate all of heaven. And it's not how long your prayer is, it's who you're talking to. That's important. The next verse says, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. I cannot pray with somebody and not be smiling, because I know the end result. Because we pray according to his will, why should we expect anything less? Why should we have anything less than what God has promised in his word? I wrote down a little footnote, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, very relative to this conversation. Flip over there real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. And someone with a nice loud voice, would you read that nice and loud so the devil can hear it and the spirits of doubt and unbelief hear it, and you're addressing them?
The promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us.
How many promises of God?
All.
In who?
In
him. In Christ, right? So, if that's already established, what's the big fuss? What's the big misunderstanding about that? It might mean you got to do a little homework to find out what those promises are. But when Jesus went to the cross, Peter said, he has, past tense, given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. If you know that already when you pray, why can you not have confidence that God not only is going to hear your prayer, but he's going to respond to it? This is really good stuff, because when you pray over the years for thousands of people, and you will find yourself praying for people who are at various stages of growth and maturity in their faith. So these are important truths about this word. And if we know that he hears us, do you know a lot of people don't know that he heard you? I've prayed with people and they didn't really know that. And you finish praying and they say, I hope so. Guess what? Their hoper's not filled, is it? You see, because it takes faith to please God. We read that last week. Hope is great, but if we're not releasing faith when we pray, and we're not making sure that what we pray is according to his word, that's where we kind of drift off course there. If we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, and he's going back, of course, to his will, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. We know that we have them, even when we pray. And did not Jesus say that when we pray, believe that we receive it when we pray, not when we see it? See, a lot of times people are waiting for the manifestation. But when you pray, how many have learned the importance of praying once and then pray prayers of thanksgiving from that time forward. And you see, there's a real powerful truth in that, because I know that the Bible calls God Ancient of Days, but He's not deaf. He's not hard of hearing. The only thing He forgets is our sins. He doesn't forget your prayer. He hears you. He's got excellent hearing. So I just think it's kind of cool that, why not just thank Him after that? Because you see, you're showing that you believe this. That when someone prays for you, from that moment on, it's done. And that's why I smile when I pray, because I know it's already done. And I always will thank Him. And lots of times with you guys, when we're praying together for each other, I always immediately, from that first prayer, thank God for it right away. I'm excited when that baby of Amy's is going to flip over. We told that baby to flip last week. That baby can hear. Now believe it, there's going to be a leap and a flip. And Amy's going to just shout for joy, because she's going to remember. It's done. It's finished. And when you pray, it's done. It's finished. That's the time for giving thanks. Don't have to keep asking and asking and asking. That's what the unrighteous judge did. The lady had to plead and plead and beg and squall and ask Him a million times until He got so upset with her, just to shut her up, He granted her request. But Jesus said, now listen to the words of this unrighteous judge. And then He reminded us that our Heavenly Father is not like that. So prayer, if you're happy the way it's all working out, then don't change anything. But if you think that maybe this can help you tweak a little bit and grow a little bit and understand a little more, to be able to have that confidence. Because sometimes people have a confidence and a trust issue with the Lord based on earthly relationships in the past. And they find it hard to trust in a God that you can't see. But His word is true. There is no form of truth any purer than God's word. And if God said these things, then they're absolutely true. And we need to shout out the doubt and get rid of it. From John's Gospel, and also his little epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And what a revelation John had of God's love. And he only had 3.5 years to spend with Jesus, but he had such a wonderful understanding and a revelation down inside of how much God really loves. And He loves you, each person. No, He doesn't love some of the things we do, but He loves us. And I was thinking about, just a silly Rick thought, I suppose, but if John had that revelation of after only 3.5 years, how long will it take me to have that same understanding after 33 years of being saved? Because that's almost as long as Jesus even actually lived in His earthly life. 33 years ago, back in March, Faith and I got saved. And I really strive to have that revelation even deeper and deeper, because it makes a difference in how we treat one another, how we see life, how we learn to separate the things of the Spirit from the things of our flesh, the thoughts of our mind versus the thoughts that God would impart to us. It's a marvelous thing. And we say that we love God, and truly we do. But I don't think that we could until He first loved us. Because then, when He gave us a heart transplant, then we could love Him the way He loves us. We've been quite a few weeks in our teaching from Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. and was part of a prayer that Paul prayed to the Colossian believers, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And there's four sections of that verse that we've kind of been picking apart, and some of you already can perceive that's why we're only on chapter 2 of Ephesians after more than 2 years. Because so many things surface if you take the time to meditate and really think about it and not read over things quickly, we get a lot more out of them. And under this little increasing in the knowledge of God, I had not just a sense knowledge of the five physical senses, but a revelation by the Holy Spirit. And you remember the process. Our minds take in information, even from the Word. But when it gets down in the heart with understanding, that's revelation. And out of that revelation, it produces transformation. So it's information, revelation, transformation. A lot of times before the Word produces transformation or change in our lives, it's still in the somewhere between the mind and the heart and not really established yet. But if we continue in His Word, we'll know the truth and the truth will make us free. And that produces a change as well. The Word changes us. The longer that we subject ourselves to it, acknowledge the authority of His Word. Last week, I believe we closed with 1 John 4, 7, and 8. It was a little scripture song that we sang many, many years ago in the early foundation of renewed life, going back probably 28 years ago. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So, beloved, let us love one another. And I think one of the joys to me personally, and I can't answer for anyone else, but one of the joys that I have in being here every week is because we're just careless enough with one another to be real, aren't we? Because that is a prime ground for the Holy Spirit to do the beautiful work in our lives that we seek for Him to do. Is that atmosphere of love and fellowship, learning and growing together, encouraging each other in our faith. The scriptures talk about that we are to encourage one another in our faith as we see the day of the Lord approaching. And there's a lot of other things that we could do. We could be fancy and go for a lot of other things, but the bottom line is keeping the main thing the main thing. And that's about what can we do to develop our relationship with the Lord even closer and with one another as well. Comes under the heading about just what Paul said about unto all pleasing, that he prayed that prayer that we would come to that place in our walk where unto all pleasing. That means a growth process. That means that there's opportunities that if we're falling short in areas, that's an opportunity for repentance. It's an opportunity to allow the Spirit of God to work in our hearts so that He helps us to work out those areas. And He doesn't beat us up. The devil brings condemnation, but the Holy Spirit brings conviction. The enemy puts condemnation. Oh, you can't come to God this morning. Look what you did last night, or look what you did yesterday. And the Holy Spirit says, don't listen to him. He's a liar. There's no truth in him. He doesn't even know how to tell the truth. The Holy Spirit said, you just come. And if you come with a willing heart, I'll take care of the work that needs to be done. Oh, how wonderful that is. How precious that is. God gives us the grace to grow. Isn't that awesome? Oh, how wonderful that is, and how he's given us so much grace that we're required to give it to others, aren't we? So we have to give one another the grace to grow. and not be critical, not fault find, not pick others apart for their walk. We all got faults. I talked about having more than one wife this morning. That's not cool. So I'll just use me. Okay? But there needs to be that grace that we extend towards one another. Because that creates a climate for the Spirit to really work wonderfully in our lives. We're not there yet. Well, I'm not. Maybe some of you are, and I hope you show me the way, because I'm still learning. Don't you say, I thought I was going to hear a loud woohoo over there in the corner. See, they have Amen Corner in some churches. We have a woohoo corner over here. That's right. We gotta shout for one another. We all need encouragement, don't we? Amen. Okay, so we talked about Hebrews 11:6 last week about it's impossible to please God without faith. That's a hard word. Today, I would like to have us have a look at Isaiah 66 and verse 2. We're nearly finished with the second section of that we would grow to that place unto all pleasing. In Isaiah chapter 66, it's the last chapter of Isaiah. But before we get to verse 2, I'd like to read verse 1 so that we kind of follow it in its context. And the Lord is speaking through Isaiah. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? That's a very profound question. And where is the place of my rest? Let's look at that question a little deeper. This is the Lord questioning. He's asking us two questions. The heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? Oftentimes, people get the sense of it's about the building. Where is the house that you've built to me? And so we see church structures built in all manner of elegance and beauty and all of man's creativity put into something and making it a precious, beautiful place to worship. But I've gone to India and I've seen kids sitting in goat and sheep dung on a dirt street in front of a house worshiping the Lord. Because it's never been about the building. It's been about the heart. That's the place that God is talking about. He's talking about this. Where is the house that you built for me? We know that by faith, God dwells in our hearts by love and by faith. That's the house. It's our heart. It's not about the building. Yeah, we can make it comfortable and paint it and make it a nice place to come and worship, but where's the house for God? See, sometimes people can get misfocused and think about building something exterior when God's really wanting us to let Him build something beautiful interior. And that's the more important. And where is the place of my rest? Where can God come and rest? Where will He be at ease? Where will He be at peace? It's hard to imagine God asking questions like that because He is our peace. But He wants to dwell in the temple not made with hands, as Paul said. And we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And when we learn more and more of His Word and we become more willing to come in alignment with His Word, come into agreement with God with His Word, that's a heart that God is at peace dwelling in. But when there's vexation of spirit and turmoil and strife and bitterness and unforgiveness, when we get off in the flesh and we start warring with one another, James wrote a lot about that. We all know, each one of us in this room would truly say, that when we're in that kind of a situation, there's no peace inside, is there? Because there's turmoil. But God is looking for a heart where there is peace and where He can dwell there. And we have every opportunity to allow His Spirit to make that place available for Him to rest and to be at peace. Verse 2, for all of these things has my hand made, and all those things have been, says the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is a poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. See, it's always been about the heart with God. You can't be forced, even God knew that you can't be forced to love someone. You can't be forced to show grace to someone. You can't be forced to show mercy to someone. You can't be forced to forgive someone. But to have a right spirit with the Lord, those things become every day. And it gets easier. And we find that things that used to upset us with people don't upset us with people anymore. We've learned to love people for who they are and where they're at in their walk. We've learned to extend grace. We've learned to show mercy. We've learned to show compassion. These are all things that come out of just what God is looking for. What kind of a person is the Lord looking for? And it has to do with our heart. Where are we in our heart towards one another? Where are we in our heart toward Him? It's that kind of a heart that when we come to the Lord with our stuff, and we don't come in pride, we don't come in our own self-righteousness, we don't come professing to be somebody when we were all made with the same dirt. Hello? I know that sounds kind of crude, but it's true. We were formed from the dust of the earth. So it doesn't give anyone any opportunity to raise themselves up above somebody else by putting others down. That really is not very helpful. And I really believe that we, when we do that, we restrict God from doing so many more things in our lives that He wants to do. We have to get us out of the way for Him to work and to be all pleasing unto Him. It's a process. A little bit here, a little bit there. Molding and chipping and conforming us more into His likeness. Starts at home. Starts in our families. Starts in our workplaces. It starts here. But the work continues by the Spirit. That's why I'm so always very thankful for that, because we all know truthfully that we wouldn't be where we were today or where we are today if it weren't for the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, to the point where He's brought us. And I don't know how much further it is to the end, but my way of thinking, I'm not sure that there is an end with God except to be standing before Him. And I wouldn't call that an end. I'd call that the glorious beginning. when we graduate, we shuck off these earth suits that give us all the problems, and our minds are totally renewed to His Word, so that we follow it with a willing heart and not in resistance, not in hissy fits. Lord, it's so hard to do that. Well, I don't know that I ever found where it was easy, and I don't recall Him ever saying it was easy, but I've come to the conclusion that it's all worth it in the end. So it's better to become more spiritually minded in those areas. A lot of good things will continue to happen. So as we kind of wrap this up, I want to come back to those who tremble at God's Word. It doesn't mean to be afraid. It means to have an awe and a reverence and a respect for His Word as the final authority. Sometimes without a person realizing it, when we share our cares and concerns with one another, sometimes you can get caught in the middle of a situation and have people play against you because they're looking for you to have the same opinion that they do, and you side with them. But when you bring your things before the Lord, God doesn't pick and choose sides. I want to be like that. I want to be so biased that I'm for both of you or all of you, and not pick sides. God's Word doesn't pick sides. We're either lost or we're saved. I have not found any in-betweens yet. That's why evolutionists should never have any children, because they might have an in-between along the way somewhere. Anyhow, moving right along. But acknowledging the Word is the final authority on truth, and to have a right spirit about it and not hold it as a weapon over somebody's head to force them to conform, when God Himself does not do that. And if we say that we have the Spirit of Christ in us, then how can we do that? How can we force change on someone? It might be really good that if we would just start with ourselves. Kind of like take that telephone pole out of my eye before I go after the toothpick in yours kind of deal. Yeah. Always about the heart, isn't it? And we sang those beautiful worship songs, and thank you for bringing those, Aaron. They're very reflective, and they're very something to contemplate, and not just something to sing, but something to really take to heart, because those reflect that kind of heart that God has been looking for all the time. And let us let Him continue working in our hearts, that we will indeed be a dwelling place that God will be well pleased to take up His residence within us. Won't be any stains in the carpet, no stains in the chairs. It'll just be the blood has given us that new heart and that new spirit. Let us not contaminate it and get ourselves in the way of what God really wants to do. So the minimum standard for what Paul was praying would be that we would come to that place of a willing yielding to the Spirit. You could call it obedience. Religious people use that as something to just pound over people's heads. See, religion will take a beautiful word in the Scriptures and use it against somebody. But when God speaks it by the Spirit, He brings us to that place of our heart where we're very willing. And we see the blessing and we see the benefit of that. I can tell you that in a few months, on my next flight to India, that's a lot of miles between here and there. And I kind of really get this feeling that I feel that I could fly with a lot more confidence, knowing the pilot went to flight school rather than being a painter. and he's going to now fly the plane I'm going to fly in. Well, it's kind of like, this is our manual. This is our flight manual, if you will. The Word of God, basic instructions before leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. And what a wonderful way to learn to live our lives to the fullest, that God has given us the opportunity to do that and to strive for that, to be diligent about that, and not in a religious way, but in a relationship way where we do it because He loves us and we love Him. The highest, coming to the highest ambition, what do we seek in our walk? What is the highest? Set your sights high. Pleasing God in everything, our thoughts and deeds. I'm not always there yet. Sometimes I think without running that thought by Him first. Should I just think this thought? No, I shouldn't. But we can do things about our thoughts before they carry it out. And when I call it, it's kind of like Jesus talked about a more abundant life in John 10:10, when He said the thief comes to steal, to kill and destroy, but I am come that you have life and that you have it more abundantly. I always said abundant is better than anything I ever had in my life, and more is even better. More is gooder, isn't it? Yeah. And this is a quality of life that the Lord died to give us. And it's a life of discipline and self-discipline. It takes practice. It takes diligence. It takes gritting our teeth sometimes and not lashing back and saying things, not even thinking about getting even with people, because it's all about relationships too. But when we live, and I call it kind of like an upper level, or this, it's like a level of life above just existing. Living in this upper level of seeking to please the Lord in all things, we find ourselves walking more in agreement with God, and therefore our lives reflect more of His countenance, more of His light, more of His presence, and people notice that. They notice it even quicker when we're not, don't they? Yeah, I'll tell you, nobody can be a better judge of a Christian than a non-believer. They're harsh and they're crude, but they're very truthful. So when we walk more in the Lord's likeness, they might not be so quick to give us a compliment, but they certainly do notice the difference. And that's where John talked a lot about the light, walking in the light as He is in the light. And always remember this, when we forgive, that's when we're the most like God. When we forgive, doesn't mean a license to continue. It doesn't mean that we condone something that a person does. But I'm willing to drop all charges against them so that the Spirit of God can work in their lives. But He won't work in mine until I do that, until I make that decision that I'm dropping all charges and I'm going to hold any charges against anyone. If I drop the charges quick, it doesn't have a chance to get down inside and start festering and become a root of bitterness to where it's a screaming, horrible ordeal to get something ripped out of your life that you've held on to against somebody for so long that it becomes callous and hardened and easier just to live with it and let it go by day and never deal with it. And then it becomes a root of bitterness to where when you finally let God rip it out, it's very, very painful to even think about dealing with it. So, walking unto all pleasing, it's part of our process as believers. I know sometimes I don't like some of the aspects of these kind of teachings because they burn in my ears and in my heart too. But I know for sure that if we don't take the time and read all of the Bible, we're really going to miss where God is really after with us. And I'm not going to let it slide by. I don't want to stand before Him one day and He asked me, how come you skipped over that? That's part of my word too. I don't want to hear those words. And I wear loose pants, so when my legs shake and I'm standing back here, you can't see them. Because I'm very serious. I know I'm going to be held accountable one day by the Lord for what I teach, what I bring. And it better be the word. I'm not going to make anything up. If I don't have an opening scripture, we're not having one from me. If God doesn't give me a word, I'm not bringing it. I'm not going to fake it. Because I really, really, really truthfully seek to bring His word every time we come together. And I can't imagine God not giving me something. Because I ask in faith and then I thank Him. And with Tom's testimony this morning, I said, wait till you see the opening scripture. Week after week and month after month, how the Lord brings us together. And out of your testimonies, out of the word, after the songs, you see the bigger picture. Because God is interested in seeing us grow and being fruitful. We haven't got to being fruitful yet, but that's coming. The next section is being fruitful in every good work. Because we can be fruitful in bad works too. But He said being fruitful in every good work. Previews of coming attractions. Thank you. I'd like to pray for anybody that wants prayer this morning. We don't want you to go home and not have an opportunity to have the Lord work and bring some changes.